Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
We've got a Super Bowl matchup all set, dude.
We do.
Do you care?
No.
Well, you care at all?
I do care a little bit.
It's a Super Bowl. Won't you watch it?
I will watch. I will watch. Mm-hmm. I was kind of hoping the Jets would win. I don't know why.
J-E-T-S. Jets. 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 Come on, dude. No. Where's your fireman hat?
I don't have that either.
Nah. I was excited as they were kind of coming back, so it was kind of a cool comeback at the end. But Steelers-Packers, that's of the scenario that was set up for us, that was definitely the best Super Bowl option.
Yeah.
Worst would have been Bears Jets. That would have been
the fun media favorite, right? They're the media darling because they're going to say something outrageous in the weeks prior.
I was over it. Yeah, you know, I can only watch Rex Ryan stare at feet for so long.
Dude,
hear about that, dude?
I heard about the feet thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Creepy, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to offend any of our listeners with a foot fetish. If that's your thing and you listen to the podcast.
Everybody's got their thing, dude.
Okay, all right.
Could be worse.
That's true.
Yeah.
It could be worse.
I don't have to remind you.
I don't know.
How much worse it could be.
Well, I'm not even sure where you're going with this, and I know it definitely could be worse.
Yes, let's just leave it at that, shall we? Dude, if the NHL All-Star Game and the Super Bowl conflicted, which would you watch?
The All-Star Game.
You're lying. You're so lying.
I don't know. Really? I definitely would flip back and forth. Because Dan Boyle's playing, dude.
That's true. And Logan Couture.
Well, he'll be playing in the
Young Stars
game.
That's right.
Extremely special. I'm not really a big fan of the All-Star game anyways, dude, when you have real games to talk about.
That's true.
Sharks are undefeated to the world.
Woohoo!
We lost 6 in a row. We won 4 in a row.
That's right.
We know is just plain old streaking.
That's right.
That's all.
We're going streaking.
Can we stop at KFC? Is that what he says when he gets in the car?
I think so.
Frank the Tank, baby. Yeah, Frank the Tank loves the Sharks.
I believe so.
Will Ferrell, I was watching The Best of Will Ferrell. That dude just loves being naked.
It's a little creepy
in a way. He's got this weird, crease. In his rib cage. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's very, very strange, but also very funny.
I wonder if he has that insured like J-Lo and insured her butt.
Maybe. Is the thinker or the stinker? You ever seen that one where he's the nude model?
Yeah.
Which pose would you like? Hepatitis.
Dude, we're getting away from the Sharks.
Oh, come on. No one wants to talk about the Sharks.
Dude, they won both games.
You're right.
Yes. Against Vancouver in Vancouver.
So let's keep talking about Will Ferrell.
Dude, that was an impressive win.
This has been a really great week for the Sharks.
Absolutely.
Two good wins, a win in Vancouver, which I correctly predicted by not predicting it.
Yes.
That's right.
You would have had it both ways. You're trying to get it both ways, too.
A good win, a game that was really had the intensity of a playoff game, actually, in a lot of stretches, don't you think, dude?
A lot of trading chances. They definitely have a really scary power play, which we saw a few too many times in my estimation. It was
they're a really good team.
And that was the one where Joe Thornton got cut open again with no call.
Well, there were a lot of calls that didn't happen for the Sharks in that game. They were climbing uphill the whole way and still managed to have, you know, an outrageous second period.
Mm-hmm.
And they duplicated that in the Minnesota effort in terms of shots. And they hung in there, and they got their chances, and all it took was one, you know?
Right.
And they won in the shootout, dude.
Yeah, Joe Pavelski with that same kind of move he always does. He does that curve to the left, he comes back across the crease, and he's got such a good wrist shot that goalies have to leave that post. As soon as they leave it, he wires it into that side. But the thing is, they can't not push off the post because otherwise you just beat him to the far side. So, I mean, it's a really tough move. If Joe Pavelski can wire that shot every time, and it seems like I think he's over 50% lifetime in the shootout, which is very impressive, then there's not much you can do to beat him.
Is there anything the Sharks can do to match the dangerous factor of the Vancouver Canucks right now, because they're just plain old dangerous, like in every way.
They're just clicking on all cylinders right now, it seems like, the Canucks. Although they lost to the Sharks and they lost to Minnesota not that long ago, it's not like they've been completely.
But even in
sailing.
A losing effort, you know, in stretches, they looked really good, and looked better than the Sharks in a lot of the stretches of the game. I don't want to take anything away from the win, you know, but certainly I felt like that was a game where, you know, and the Sharks haven't been on this end of this often lately, where they were the team that was working a little bit harder. They had to work harder to get that win than they've had to work to beat Vancouver in recent years.
Absolutely.
What would you say?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if the undoing of the Canucks might be the kind of co-gunslinger attitude that Edler and Erhoff both seem to have, and you wonder in a playoff series. I mean, we saw Couture pick Erhoff's pocket.
Right.
And he even said in the postgame that, you know, he knows Erhoff likes to gamble, and, you know, he poked a stick out there. He stripped it right off his stick and went in one-on-one and nailed it on Luongo, you know?
Right, right.
And that's the kind of stuff that we saw Erhoff do a lot, and it burned him. It seemed not to do so much in Vancouver, but you wonder in a playoff series if that's going to be maybe a little bit of Vancouver's undoing, is they've got a couple of guys who like to go all in maybe a little too often.
Well, now that BX is out, I think you're right. I think some of the steadiness may be gone, but they still have a pretty great blue line.
Oh, sure.
I would certainly trade ours for theirs.
No doubt.
As much as I love Dan Boyle, I would still do that.
Yeah, I agree. Their blue line is extremely deep, and when it's completely healthy, if they can afford to do this under the salary cap, I mean, there's no better blue line. Well, would you take Vancouver's or Philadelphia's?
I would take Philly's.
Really?
Yeah, because Pronger healthy,
it's tough.
Teaming and healthy.
Yeah, that's pretty outstanding.
It just trumps what they got.
But it's close.
Yeah, it is close.
It's real close.
Certainly in the same conversation.
It's real close. So Vancouver's a team that, to keep an eye on them in the next couple weeks and see if they're going to do anything or they're just going to stand pat. You know, if you're them, don't you just kind of ride out what you got?
Absolutely.
And I don't know if I tinker too much with what they've got going on, and you might add maybe a very minor role player to the mix, but for the most part they've got a good mix of a few young forwards, some talented veterans who are really, you know, Rafi Torres is having a career season there, and they're scary.
Kessler's having a career year.
And the Sedins, I mean, you know, a couple of years ago we were kind of making fun of them for just being soft and semi lame,
right?
No, but they've really picked it up. They're all world right now.
Absolutely.
Those guys operate on a different level, and a dangerous team. So,
it is.
But we beat them, and that was a great sight. And to see the Sharks work so hard to get the win, they wanted it.
Yeah.
They wanted it real bad, and they got it, too.
That's right. And Minnesota seemed like the same thing, because Minnesota has been beating pretty good teams. They put a hurting on Calgary last week. I think
they had won their last three games by a combined score 12-1.
Right.
Going into that game against the Sharks, and we knew it wouldn't be easy. How good is Brent Burns?
Really good.
We were discussing having him in a Sharks uniform in the offseason. We're talking about adding a number two defenseman. I don't think he fits that category anymore. I think he's a number one.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And that's a guy that Minnesota would never leave. I mean, there was
not now.
I mean, he went end to end, and he had that goal laid. I mean, he was all over the ice. He just completely dusted a couple of Sharks. Sort of, you know, you're standing behind the net, and there's a guy in front of the net looking to see, you know, which way he's going to go, and then the forward goes one side behind the net, and Burns just completely dusted him. He was three strides ahead by the time he hit the blue line. It was impressive how good that guy's feet are. So pretty good. Good team. Good goaltending. Backstrom, again, really good statistics this year. I think he's over a .920 save percentage. I mean, he is tough to beat. And the Sharks managed to get some goals. You know, the rebound thing is obviously the key, right? Everybody says it. It's kind of boring to hear it. But traffic in front and rebounds, that's what scores goals against goaltenders of that caliber. And that's what the Sharks did.
So in terms of the Minnesota game, it was the Setoguchi show. Hello. Thanks for coming to the party, baby.
Yeah.
And Mark Edward Vlasic had a really good game.
I thought so.
In the Minnesota game. And I thought Jason Demers really stood out in the Vancouver game.
Mm-hmm.
He drew that late penalty against Samuelson when he was, you know, playing real rough with him down in the corner. And Samuelson didn't like it. And turned around and, you know,
took a swing
at him, and we got the power play. And I really, I'm trying to think of the right word. I admired that in him, that we're seeing Demers grow up a little bit here and be a little more responsible, still be dangerous on the power play and on the rush, but to be physical in that kind of situation that late in the game, I thought that was a big jump for him. You know, we really haven't really seen that much against the best team in the NHL. So good stuff. Dude, a question for you.
Yeah.
Minnesota fringe playoff team. You tell me which team is better or you think is going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Minnesota or Anaheim?
Wow, that's tough. You know, I haven't been a big believer in Minnesota all year. But then again, I certainly am not a believer in Anaheim. I guess I'm going to have to take Minnesota because I think they're a little bit more well-rounded than Anaheim is.
And
if Getzlaff's out, although they beat Montreal last night, but Montreal is decimated by injuries, I still would take Minnesota.
Minnesota or Nashville?
I don't know why Nashville's winning, to be honest.
It's because they play that... Speaking of Minnesota, I mean, they play that style, that defensive style.
They did like, they did like a transplant. Like they switched systems.
They don't allow a lot of goals.
That's right.
So...
I mean, I guess that wins in the playoffs, so maybe... I mean, Nashville's...
No, it doesn't. Have they ever won a playoff series in their life?
No.
So, for Nashville, it gets them there, and then they, you know, they're the kid standing in the corner, no punch, no date.
Yeah.
That's the Preds, dude.
Yeah.
I'd take the Wild in terms of...
with Martin Havlat healthy, which is always an iffy proposition... he's a big time player when he's healthy and playing well, and he's their number one points getter right now. So you got to like Minnesota where they stand at the moment.
Yeah. Let's keep an eye on the Wild. Like, I think that they could be a team that might sneak in there and be that eight seed,
right?
You know, be that eight seed. You know, they're playing pretty well, dude.
Well, dude, we had a lot of, sort of weird roster moves. We talked obviously about the Sharks going out and getting Kyle Wellwood and Ben Eager, which we need to talk about in a second, but there's been some weird like goalie shenanigans going on. What's exactly is happening here?
Well, I guess from what I understand, it was pretty vague on Thursday night, but I heard Randy Hahn on KMBR and he said that Nita Mackey was putting in some extra work after almost everybody had left the ice. And evidently he injured himself. The word is it's a groin.
Mm-hmm.
He injured himself when no one was really around. So they scrambled. They're in an emergency situation. They had no backup. The game was happening in hours.
Right.
And they had to make the call to, I think it's the University of British Columbia.
That's right.
Which happened to be there. And they used their goaltender, Jordan White, who is a former junior prospect who played with Devin Setoguchi. This kid was on an amateur contract, so he's not allowed. He didn't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
He got per diem. He got a room at the hotel, and Randy Hahn wasn't even sure if he was allowed to stay there overnight because I guess the Sharks left after the game. So
that's pretty
said,
funny.
Maybe they let the kid keep the room, and he could be the coolest guy at the University of British Columbia.
Absolutely.
And he was there, dude. And actually, Tom Tolbert and Ralph Barbieri asked him a few funny questions. That I guess Devin Setoguchi, who was a former teammate of this kid, walked into the dressing room, and when he saw him, he was like, "What the hell are you doing here?" and then he found out what happened, and Randy Hahn asked him, said, "Hey, you know, is this guy any good?" And said, he goes, "Not really." I couldn't tell if Randy Hahn was joking, but it sure didn't sound like it, dude.
Yeah.
And then they asked, they said, "What would have happened if Niemi had gone out? Like, and they had to put this kid in?"
Right.
And Randy's like, "Probably 10-0. Then he said, no, probably not, you know, but McClellan would have made adjustments in order to prevent that from happening. But it sounds like it would have been fairly frightening. So anyways, yeah. Jordan White is gone.
Right.
And due to the injury situation on the Sharks, you know, goalie prospects, they didn't have a lot of options, dude.
Right. So they went with J.P. Anderson, who is a young prospect from Mississauga.
We don't know. Anyone?
I'm not good at pronouncing those, you know, obscure Canadian towns.
So this is a kid that we signed after the
Young Prospects
tournament. Yeah. Came in as a tryout. They signed him and a couple other guys, sent him back to his junior team. This was the Sharks' options. So probably people are like, well, where's Alex Stalock?
Right.
Well, he was coming off an injury for Worcester.
Right.
And evidently, because of their schedule and how things were, it just was not an option. Clearly, no one could get there within hours.
Mm-hmm.
But by Saturday, they just felt like they couldn't get him there. Well, what about Tyson Sexsmith, who is in Stockton playing for the Stockton Thunder? Well, he did get in a goalie fight in November and broke his hand, dude. He broke his hand. Oh, and the other problem with Tyson Sexsmith is he makes over $1 million. So if they brought him in, you know, his contract would have been, I mean, I don't even know if he would have been an option. And you're not going to bring Thomas Greiss or Harry Cetari over from Europe for a week.
Yeah.
And Carter Hutton, who's another Sharks stopgap, he's really the backup goalie in Worcester, is not really a viable NHL option, I don't think.
No. At least not according to Sharks page. I hope everybody read that post.
So there's two choices here. You had PJ Anderson, who's playing out of his mind right now in the OHL, or you had Thomas Heemskerk, who's another Sharks junior prospect who's playing for Moose Jaw in the Western Hockey League. And that's what they did, dude.
They went with the better of the two, the guy with the better numbers at the time.
So what's the deal with Anderson, and how long can he stay, and how does this work?
Well, I think he's on an emergency call-up, so I think they just have to send him back down whenever. I know that Stalock's already up, right? They already called up Stalock.
Well, supposedly that's what was being implied by David Pollock and working the corners. I guess it wasn't officially announced, but Anderson was already sent back. Stalock's coming. This emergency call-up functions how?
It's just, I think you can get away with not having to clear waivers. Not that any of these guys that we just mentioned have to clear waivers anyway. Because waivers, if you remember, is a function of how young you are and how much NHL experience you have. All these guys are young and have none. So none of these guys are subject to the waiver process. So it doesn't really matter.
But in a typical situation, you send a guy to juniors, you cannot recall him like you can a AHL player.
That's right. I think the one thing I found is that you can only play 10 or 11 games in a season before you can't send him back. Right. I don't know if there's like a, there might be a limit in the calendar as to when a guy can play. So that's a little fuzzy. I couldn't quite find all the language to that governs that particular thing. But I think under emergency situation, they can call up J.P. Anderson for a game or two and then send him back. And so cool.
So it seems like the Sharks, Nidamaki is supposed to be back after the All-Star break. So this is just really a temporary thing.
Right.
Not going to see Stalock unless something happens to Niemi. I mean, that would be a big surprise.
Right.
If they started Stalock against L.A., that's not going to happen, especially how Niemi's playing right now. You're in a role with Niemi, dude, and he'll get a break.
Right.
But they certainly had a chance to claim a veteran goaltender. Was put on waivers, dude.
Yes.
Evgeny Nabokov.
That's right. Well, I read one tweet from one person that said the Sharks put a claim in for Nabokov, and I didn't see anybody else confirm or deny that. So I have no idea how reliable that particular piece of information is. It could be total bunk, or it could actually be true, and we wouldn't even know it because he was claimed by the New York Islanders, who have clear waiver priority over the Sharks. It goes by reverse of the standings.
So let's talk about how this all went down, right?
Yeah.
So Nabokov decides that he's going to come back to the NHL, so he signs with?
He signs with Detroit.
Right.
Yeah.
So he signs with Detroit.
Right.
And in order to get to Detroit, he has to go through the waiver process.
That's right.
And every team in the NHL has the opportunity to claim this player, Nabokov, right, for the contract that he signed with Detroit. And, you know, they don't have to give anything to Detroit in return. This is how we got Kyle Wellwood.
That's right.
It's how Nashville got Marek Svatos from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So when Nabokov is placed on waivers, and Friday morning, he realizes that instead of going to the Motor City,
yeah,
He's going to the island.
Right, which has the worst building in the NHL.
Islanders, dude. Yeah. So this is how this situation went down.
Right.
When Gar Snow, the GM of the New York Islanders, attempted to tell Evgeny Nabokov that he was joining his franchise.
Hello?
Yes, hi. This is Gar Snow. I'd like to speak to Evgeny.
Yes?
Evgeny, hi.
No, this is not Evgeny. This is his wife. One moment, please. Evgeny! Evgeny, come to phone now.
Hello?
Hi, yes, this is Gar Snow with the New York Islanders and, oh. So that's basically how it went down. According to reports, he took a call from Gar Snow and hung up on him.
On accident, dude. Oh, on accident. He didn't know it was him.
On accident. I'm making air quotes now. Yes. Yeah, so, and I don't think Evgeny Nabokov's wife is Russian.
No, she's not.
That was an excellent, excellent impression, though.
It was really just for the sake of comedy. Here, let's do it one more time. Do the phone call one more time.
Okay.
Here we go.
We're doing this again?
Hello, Governor!
Exactly.
I think it maybe went a little more down like that.
I'm sure Nabokov put on a horrible horrible accent.
Oh, dude. This is what a mess.
So now he was claimed by the New York Islanders, and now he refuses to report, and he's staying at home in our fair city.
So we have a title for Nabokov. intro, please. Jackass of the year, Evgeny Nabokov. Oh my gosh, what has happened here, dude? Tell me your honest assessment of this situation.
Well, he had to have known that this could have happened, right?
Right.
Of course. I mean,
how did he think that he was actually going to get to Detroit?
He has one of the most experienced agents, Don Meehan, in the NHL, who represents a ton of NHL players. I'm sure Don Meehan knows better than anybody exactly what his situation was, and he could have been claimed by anybody. Probably the last team he would want to play for, which probably was the Islanders, could have been any team in a horrible straits, Ottawa, New Jersey, you know, any one of these teams that has little to no chance, Edmonton, of making the playoffs. And lo and behold, he gets claimed. I mean, he was a good NHL goaltender just last year. He had a career year last year. And for him not to want to report to the Islanders, on one hand, I sort of understand it. But on the other hand, it just makes him look like a jackass, as you said.
How did he think he was actually really, really going to make it to Detroit?
Yeah.
Did he really think that? How did Detroit actually really think he was going to make it to them?
Right.
I just can't imagine that they actually thought that.
Right.
Do you really think they did? Is this more of a preventative measure now? So Detroit now has basically insured, hey, best case scenario for us, if you're Ken Holland, we get him.
Right.
Worst case scenario, there's no way he's going to make it past the Gar Snow, who now also looks like a huge tool.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they're in a terrible situation right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Islanders. I mean, because they're basically in a standoff with Meehan and his agency. It's one of the most powerful sports agencies for athletes. And what are they going to do? You know, not... You know, they have options, though, dude.
Yeah, well, they could just suspend him and not pay him and basically remove him from the NHL until the end of the season. That's one option. Or they could waive him again. I'm sure even though the contract has a no movement clause, they could waive him.
There's another option.
Oh, what's that?
According to Bob McKenzie, there is something called tolling a contract. And what the Islanders could do if they want to is they could ask the NHL to make Nabokov honor the contract that he signed for next season. It's called tolling a contract.
Is that like an Alexei Yashin thing?
I don't know, but this is something that the Islanders, according to Bob McKenzie, he wrote a column here on TSN saying the Islanders could appeal to the NHL to toll the contract, which essentially means push it to next year. In that case, Nabokov would owe the Islanders a year, and Nabokov would not necessarily become a free agent on July 1.
Ooh. Woo-hoo!
So, I mean, this is a huge gamble for Nabokov. This could mean he might have to sit out 2 years and then NHL hockey.
And he'd be 37.
His career's over, basically, at that point. Yeah. I mean, really, he'd be done. So if you're Nabokov, I mean, what do you do at this point? You've kind of made your bed, right? You've hung up on Garth Snow.
Well, if I'm Nabokov, I now report.
You think he can do that at this point?
Sure, why not? Oh. I mean, they've said that they were... if he wants to report to the team, what can they do? They can't waive him again because he has a no movement. So if I was him, I would just swallow the pride and report and just suck it up for the rest of the season and then become the free agent and see if he can get another NHL job. Because I think... Well, I guess he could wait until the NHL rules on this particular situation, as you just mentioned.
Well, I think if they have to rule on it, it's too late. You know,
well,
I
mean, they could say, okay, if you don't report this year, you have to report next year. And Nabokov's like, guess I'm back in my bags.
I would think if they made that decision, it would just be enforced. I mean, that's, I think if it gets that far, it gets that far.
The drama continues.
Is there any chance that the Islanders just say, okay, fine, we give up and waive him again?
Yes, I think there is a chance.
So according to, from what I understand, if they do that, then whoever claimed him originally on the original waiver claim gets next dibs. It's not like it's a brand new wave.
Right. Well, if someone claimed him along with the Islanders, like say the Sharks or a number of other teams could have claimed him.
Say the Oilers. What if they claimed him? Well, I guess they were first, huh? No, the Devils are.
Devils are first.
What if the Oilers claimed him? So now you're going to Edmonton. Like, and then you just keep going up the line. Oh, now you're going to Columbus. Now you're going to Ottawa. You know, I mean, there's no way he makes it to a contender, which is what he thinks he's going to get to do that.
Right. I don't
understand
that.
Doesn't work like that.
No.
So from Detroit's point of view, it's still, I guess, a win situation because you've kept him off the Capitals.
Sure.
You've kept him off the Blackhawks.
Right.
You've kept him off the Sharks, which is funny enough. Do you really think the Sharks claimed him? Do you think they claimed him?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Because then they have to carry three goalies for the rest of the year, essentially.
Not just that. I mean, even if someone like, trying to think of a good example. Let's say it was Javi Bulin instead of Nabokov in this situation, not someone who was on the team last year. I still think they don't claim him.
Right.
Because of what you said. But because it's Nabokov, you're going to bring him back?
Yeah.
You're going to bring him back into the dressing room?
At like 1/10 of his salary.
There's just no way.
Yeah, that would be
brutal.
That
can't happen,
yeah,
right?
That'd be nuts.
I mean, this guy's been removed. He's been not part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now Niemi and Nidamaki, their opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you're going to bring, like, Daddy back? You can't do that.
No, you can't.
I just don't. I would like to think that Doug Wilson's far too sensitive to something like that.
Right. I would think so.
To mess with it at this point.
Especially since they have, like, a decent backup. It's not like they have, like, some scrubs the backup. Or if Nidamaki had a monster, nasty injury that was going to keep him out for 3 months, I could maybe see it.
I don't know, dude. I don't want to sound wrong, but if Nidamaki was out for a couple weeks, I wouldn't mind. I want to see Alex Stalock. I want to see it.
They're not going to play him, though.
Dude, they would in 3 or 4 weeks, they wouldn't play him once.
Maybe they play him once.
Yeah, once or twice.
So he's sitting there getting rusty on the bench, not playing for the Worcester Sharks.
I'd like to see him play, dude. I want to see him play. I want to see the kid play.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, this is a guy that, you know, with Niemi only on a 1-year deal, Nidamaki on a 2, I want to know.
Right.
I want to know, can this kid play?
Right.
I think, I suspect yes.
Well, dude, that leads us into our next segment, a brand new segment.
What?
Yes, it's true, and we're calling it All the Young Dudes. So this is a new recurring segment where we're going to talk about one of the Sharks prospects, one of the guys who's not on the big club, and maybe give you, the listeners, a little bit more information about one of these guys. And just, you know, increase your knowledge about the Sharks. And it's fun following some of these, you know, young players. I find it really satisfying when you know about a guy when he's in the junior ranks or when he's in the minor leagues and you see him mature as a player. Like, we knew about Setoguchi before he played for the Sharks. Like, we were expecting him to be good. Really,
I paid
fun.
$9 to watch Logan Couture play in a OHL playoff game.
That's right.
I felt bad about it.
And then you felt good
about
it.
And then I felt good about it.
Now you feel great about
it. I do. I feel great about it. I felt like you feel like you're ahead of the curve.
So, dude, who are we going to be ahead of the curve on this time?
Well, it's a player that we talked about a couple weeks ago for the wrong reasons, because he was basically not wanted by his college team. Mm. William Wren left the University of Denver. He mm-hmm. joined the Portland Winterhawks of the Western Hockey League. So the Sharks draft pick from 2009 in the second round. He's a former USA developmental player, captain of the under 18 team for USA that won gold in 2009, the under 18 championship. He's got good resume.
Right.
You know?
Right. Or CV, as the Canadians would say.
At University of Denver, he was not living up to expectations and basically was in a rotation of bottom defensemen and mm-hmm. not really playing any sort of regular shift, and he had an opportunity to join a team in Portland that's in first place in the Western Hockey League, in the Western Conference. You know, this team is in first place. And in 9 games, I'm happy to say he has a goal, 3 assists, and is a plus 11.
Holy crap.
And the team is 7-2 since he's joined the team.
Is he playing a lot?
Yeah, he's playing a lot. I mean, you can't see ice time on these reports.
That's right.
But he's, I mean, plus 11.
Yeah.
I mean, he's out there
for a lot of goals.
A lot of goals.
Yeah.
So I would imagine, based on those stats, that he's getting a lot of even strength time and good things are happening when he's on the ice. Now, looking at their scores, you know, Portland wins a lot of games, 6-5, 7-6. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're playing kind of up and down, you know, showtime hockey. But the thing that I really like, dude, is that in the last game, at the 20th minute of the third period, in a game against a rival, who shows up on the penalty score sheet with William Wren at the end of the game with a fight. At the end of the game, dude, if you go to hockeyfights.com, he did pretty well.
Really?
Yeah, he got a couple good shots in there, dude.
And, nice.
It's good to see this guy have a little bit of a step forward.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because that looked like a demotion at the time when right. he was the seventh defenseman for the Denver team, which is, you know, one of the powerhouse hockey teams in the NCAAs, to sort of get shipped because he wasn't playing enough. That doesn't sound like a good thing.
This is not a demotion at all. He's playing on a good team. You know, he's going to be playing deep into the WHL playoffs. He's playing with two of the best junior players in Ryan Johansson, who's fourth pick overall last year, and Nino Niederreiter.
Yeah.
They're both on that team. That's the fourth and fifth pick in last year's draft.
Wow.
Both on the same team. And now he's rolling with them, probably in the top line, top pairing. Good stuff. So I'm happy that this happened. I think that we're going to see and continue to follow the development of William Wren, dude. And if the listeners would like us to do a report on any Sharks prospect or draft pick, send us an email, questions@dudesonhockey.com, and we'd be happy to add it to future profiles.
Yes. Yeah. Good first segment there, dude.
Thanks, dude.
Dude, speaking of fisticuffs, I want to go to Danny, who sent in a question. He said, I wanted to hear your thoughts on Eager, specifically his history of dirty play. While the Sharks are known for their size, they aren't known as a dirty team or even a very physical team. Is this the type of play something the team needs in order to gain a little more respect from other teams, or is it just going to hurt us in the long run? So what's your take on Eager, dude?
Well,
in terms of, you know, this guy who might...
I don't know. I wouldn't say that the Sharks have not had dirty players on their roster in the last few years. I mean, you have arguably the dirtiest player in recent NHL history in Claude Lemieux.
Right.
Although he certainly was not the same guy that he was 10 years ago. But you've got him, Joe Shelley, Brad Staubitz. I mean, Scott Nichols, not a choir boy,
right,
as evidenced by his current 4-game suspension.
Right.
Ben Eager tends to fly off the handle a little bit, but I don't mind it, actually. I think he's going to take some pressure off of Klo.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Klo is sort of that light heavyweight situation, and that's where Eager is easily. So hopefully maybe Eager will pick up a couple of those scraps instead of Klo. And, you know, we hate to, you know, play the record again, but I mean, he played in the finals for Chicago, so if he was that much of a liability, I don't think Chicago would have played him in the finals against the Flyers.
Right. I think that having a guy like out there and having that in the back of other teams' minds, you know, just reading the article today that Chris Pronger is going to be auctioning off the Stanley Cup final puck to a charity, like, he's so much
yeah
He's so awful, that guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Gotta love him. Great.
But someone said, I saw on NHL Live, they said that 29 and a half teams in the NHL hate him because half the guys on his own team hate him too.
Well, there's a Chris Pronger, Ben Eager connection, if you remember, because that's with the puck, right? So
right. That's right.
Ben Eager was the one who took exception to Pronger taking the game puck. And then they asked Pronger about it, what Eager said to him. And Pronger says, I don't know. I don't speak gibberish. Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, but that's exactly, you know, the kind of guy that Eager is,
right?
Apparently we haven't seen that yet, and he seems to be kind of flying under the radar right now. And so is Kyle Wellwood. I mean, Wellwood had some good chances the other night.
I'm pretty happy with Wellwood so far.
Yeah,
to be
so
honest.
Far, I mean, both those guys, they've been solid,
right?
You know, that nothing you probably noticed Wellwood actually more than you've noticed Eager.
I think so,
you know,
yeah.
So far, but right, I mean, hey, the Sharks won both games since they've joined the team. They certainly have been able to contribute more than Desjardins and Machinder. So
absolutely, there's no question.
Doubt about that. But I don't feel uncomfortable with Ben Eager being on the team.
No,
do you?
No, not at all. And I don't think that you know, he might get the suspension, but I don't think anybody here is really, you know, thinking about Scott Nichol and if Scott Nichol should be on the team. Clearly Scott Nichol's a history of suspensions. I think it's his 7th or 8th suspension.
Yeah.
So
I don't see him in being in like Steve Downey 2 years ago country.
Right.
Right.
Just where completely
just
out of
completely
control.
Completely out of control. Yeah. I don't think he's that kind of player.
All right, dude. So we got coming up. It's a little bit of a light schedule here for the next week, but we got the All-Star game.
There's
so
one big game left before that All-Star game.
That's right.
LA Kings.
LA Kings, who are not playing very well. No, the LA Kings are in trouble right now.
This is an important win. I think I hate to say must win at this point, but it for this type of game, it's pretty important. You don't want to go into the All-Star break after riding a high, just go into LA and, you know, laying an egg.
Especially to a team that hasn't been playing very well.
Right. This is an important game for the Sharks to continue the good vibrations.
Absolutely.
And ride into the All-Star break on a high. It makes you forget about that losing streak right now.
Yeah.
The way they're playing.
We're almost back to 500 if they win, you know, this the next game against the Kings and then next Tuesday, then they're back to even over the last 12, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll take it. So, dude, enjoy the All-Star game.
I will, I suppose. Will you watch the draft of the players? Or is that going to be uncomfortable?
I'll probably watch it.
It's going to be uncomfortable, though, to be the last guy picked.
Yeah. Well, you know, it always is uncomfortable to be the last guy picked.
Who's going to be the last guy picked?
I don't have the rosters in front of me, so I can't really tell.
It won't be Dan Boyle, right?
Could be like Danny Briere.
Oh, this is going to be... No.
Although he's got like 25 goals this year, so Danny Briere is going to be
picked. I just feel like it's going to be...
It's not going to be Dan Boyle.
I know, but I just kind of feel bad for whoever it is.
I'm not. The guy's going to be making like $8 million a year, whoever it is.
Dude.
Yeah.
Peter Forsberg is attempting a comeback with the Avalanche?
Again with this? He's the Brett Favre of the NHL. Give it a rest, mate. You're done. His foot is going to literally explode this time.
Do you think he's going to make... No.
No. He's got no chance. I mean, I think the last picture I saw of him playing was actually in black and white. I mean, come on.
Here's another question for you. Dude, have you given any sort of notice to the Guardian project?
No.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. That's like some Stan Lee gimmick where they like have these superheroes in each...
Have you looked yet? I'm looking at the shark.
Yeah, it's just like a guy. It's like a guy with a shark's head, basically.
I'm going to watch the video. Okay. I'm going to sit alone in my room.
Well, we'll have to do that after the show's over because we're running out of time here.
What do you mean? We've got all the time in the world.
Dude, we're done.
Dude, we're done?
We're done, dude.
We're done? You kicking me out, dude?
I'm kicking you out. I'm chucking you, dude.
Thanks, Governor.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, we'll see you next week, everybody.
All right. Well, by this time next week, will Nabokov be an Islander or be sitting at home?
Sitting at home.
Okay, I agree.
There it is.
Bye. Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.